Please remain standing as for the reading of our word this morning. It comes out of the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 12. If you would like to follow along in your own Bibles or there in the bulletin as well, Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 12. Hear this, the reading of God's word. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham." And Abraham said, "Here I am." He said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men and with him and his son Isaac. And he cut wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, "My father," and he said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went, both of them together. When they came to the place where God had told him, Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took a knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham," and he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you bow with me, please? O Lord, pour out your spirit upon this, your word of life, and upon us, that we might be people of life. O Lord, hide me behind your cross, that your message of love and grace might shine through for the redemption of the world. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Rebecca Pippert, in the great book, Out of the Salt Shaker, said this. She said, "Whatever controls you is your Lord. The person who seeks power is controlled by power. The person who seeks acceptance is controlled by the people he or she wants to please. We do not control ourselves. We are controlled by the Lord of our lives." So, with that term in mind, my friend Gary, the Lord of his life was baseball, making sure that his son and grandson were great baseball players. Now, we all have desires. We all have desires, and those desires are not necessarily wrong. They are often very good things. God gives us good things in our lives, as I was talking with the children about. God gives us good gifts to enjoy in our lives. But sometimes those desires for those good things become so strong that we would do almost anything in the world to keep them or to get them. For some of us, it's wealth and possessions. We would do anything to get more, or for some of us, to get for the very first time wealth and possessions. We would do anything. And so we would work any amount of hours that we have to work to make sure that we get wealth and possessions. We would ignore our family and our children. We would refrain from going out on dates with our spouses. We would not get babysitters for our kids. We would make sure our spouse is always at home to watch our kids when we're at work. We even We may take off a couple of hours on Sunday morning to go to church, but then immediately after church is over, we rush off back to the office. Some of us will go to such lengths to get more wealth and possessions that we'll do whatever it takes. There are others of us that value other things. Others of us have put other things first in our lives, things like friends or even love itself. I've been around some single folks in my life, and dare I say, maybe even some married folks in my life that would do absolutely anything to get love. They would ignore their morality that they were raised with. They would, in some sense, even give away their body time and time and time again so that they would be able to get love in their lives. Dear sisters and brothers, oftentimes those things that we would give anything, those things that we think, I would give anything to get that, I wonder if that's not the Lord of our lives. Abraham had everything. He had everything that he had ever wanted. Last week we started with, in this sermon series, dealing with these great stories of the book of Genesis, and we saw how Abraham had a special relationship with God. He loved God tremendously, and God loved him tremendously. God chose him. Of all of the people on earth, God chose him to have a special relationship with. And God came to Abraham and said, Abraham, go to a place that I'm going to show you. Abraham was 75 years old. And God said, go to a place that I'm going to show you. And when you get to that land, that promised land, your people are going to be my people. And you're going to be the father of a great nation. And that sounded odd to Abraham because he was 75 years old. His wife Sarah was 65 years old, and they didn't have any children. And here God was telling him he was going to be the father of a great nation. Well, as the story continues, 25 years later, when Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah was 90 years old, Sarah gave birth to a son, and they named him Isaac. I've been around some friends and family members, in fact, that have had children later on in life. Have you ever been around folks who had children when they were in their 40s? How do they treat those children? They spoil them rotten, don't they? and grandparents, I know that's your responsibility to spoil your grandchildren. And so as we get older in life, as we get on in life, we spoil children in our lives. Can you imagine how spoiled rotten Isaac was? Just think about that for a moment. Grandparents, again, I know when you go to the store and your young grandchildren are with you, if they want a Snickers candy bar, you give them a Snickers candy bar, no question asked. Can you imagine how spoiled they were making Isaac? Because upon Isaac rested all of their hopes and dreams. Upon Isaac rested all of the covenant that God had made to Abraham and Sarah. Isaac meant everything. Isaac meant everything to Abraham and Sarah. And so this story is shocking. I mean, I would have thought, if I would have been God, and thank God I'm not, I would have ended the story just simply right there. I mean, it's a happily ever after kind of story. God promised Abraham and Sarah that they were going to have a child. God waited until they were 190. Miraculously, they had a child. Story's over. Let's go on to the next generation. But God, in his infinite wisdom, knew that the story couldn't end there. It's shocking to us as we read this story. It strikes us wrong. God came to Abraham and asked him to sacrifice his son, your only son whom you love. This is the story of religious fanaticism. This is the story of cults. This is not a story that belongs in the Bible. In fact, Søren Kierkegaard was he wrote a book, Fear and Trembling, his most infamous book. And in that book, Kierkegaard examined this story of Abraham and Isaac, and he came to the conclusion that faith is irrational and absurd based upon this story. He said, Abraham thought the command from God to sacrifice his son made no sense, and it was contradictory to everything else that God had ever told him. But Abraham went ahead and followed that command. Therefore, if that's what faith is about, Kierkegaard concluded, faith is irrational and absurd, and he said he didn't want anything to do with it. Now, I don't know how your response to this story is. It may not be quite as dramatic as Kierkegaard's, but I often gloss over this. I often speed through this story as quickly as I can because it's a gut punch to me as a dad. I can't even begin to fathom the call of God upon Abraham's life to sacrifice his son. What kind of God asks the father to kill his son? Again, that's the story of religious fanaticism and cults, not the story of the Bible. But I think if we look at this in a theological context, we can see that it makes significant meaning. The oldest son carried the weight of the family, always did in the Old Testament. Always did. The oldest son always received at least one half of the inheritance. No matter how many children there were in the family, the oldest son received at least one half of the inheritance. The oldest son always received the blessing of the father. The oldest son was the family. The oldest son was responsible for all of the rest of the family when the dad died. The oldest son was responsible for his mother. The oldest son was responsible for his siblings, for his nieces, for his nephews, for his wife, and for their children. The oldest son, all of the family's future rested on the oldest son. And so when God called Abraham to sacrifice his oldest son, it was almost as if God was calling in a favor. You remember the story of the Passover? How we got the celebration of the Passover, when the angel of death came and passed over the houses of the Hebrew people, and who did the angel of death strike dead? It was the firstborn son of the Egyptian people. And so it was almost as if God was calling in this debt. I want you to notice that God did not call Abraham to simply go to Isaac's tent and murder him in his sleep. No, God called Abraham to take him up to the mountain and offer him as a sacrifice to the Lord. So what in the world is all of this story about? What is this story really about? I believe this story is about loving God supremely. That's what this story is about. Loving God supremely. Because Abraham was willing to give up his beloved son, he came to realize that he loved God supremely. So what on the surface seems to be a very rough treatment of Abraham is actually merciful. Isaac was a wonderful gift to Abraham, but Isaac was not safe for Abraham to have and to hold until Abraham was willing to put God first. I want to say that again. Isaac was a wonderful gift to Abraham, but Isaac was not safe for Abraham to have and to hold until Abraham was willing to put God first. As long as Abraham never had to choose between his love for his son and obedience to God, he never would have known if he loved God supremely or not. But the moment he opted to obey God, he knew that God was first in his life. You see, We'll never begin to recognize how idolatrous things in our lives have, have become until we're called to give them up. We'll never recognize how idolatrous our career has become until we're faced with a situation that telling the truth or acting with morality or putting our family first, if those things would damage our career, and we choose telling the truth, and we choose with acting with morality, and we choose our family even over our career, if we're not willing to give up our career, we'll never know whether our career is first in our lives. If we never have to choose between church and our children's activities, if we never make that decision, we'll never know whether we really are putting our faith first in our lives and in the lives of our children. Sisters and brothers, we must be willing. We must be willing to sacrifice all of our Isaacs on the altar. We must. Because if we don't, you see, what happens is that we grasp at them so closely, and when we hold them so closely, we suffocate them. And those things that we suffocate and grasp so closely, they're not safe for us to have. So we're called to simply release them. You want to know how you know whether you love God supremely? Well, Jesus said, if anyone would want to come after me and follow me, you must deny yourself daily. Take up your cross and follow me. We must give it all up. Yes, even our Isaacs. In the spirit of prayer, would you bow with me? With your head bowed and your eyes closed, I would ask that you just simply put your hands out on your laps with your palms facing up. You see, many of us come to the Lord and we're grasping at things. We're holding on dearly to those things that mean the most to us in our lives. Our possessions, our careers, our past, even our family. We are holding on to them so tightly that we're never really able to release those things and at the same time to be able to receive from the Lord. You see, when our hands are open, they're open not only in giving to the Lord, but also receiving from the Lord. And so, Lord, right here where we are, here in the sanctuary, sitting at home, traveling on the road, Lord, we pray that we would release to you our Isaacs, those things that we love supremely, that have meant so much to us, that have been such good gifts from you. But Lord, now we release them to you. We release to you our Isaacs so that we can receive from you blessings and grace and hope and love and salvation. Oh Lord, come. Come and help us to know that you call us to love you supremely. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen.